Open up your Bibles to 1 Corinthians chapter 13, and that's where we're going to start tonight. 1 Corinthians chapter number 13, and so we appreciate your help there, and we didn't have a whole lot to deal with tonight. That's all right. I think we got everything. We started a series of lessons a few weeks ago, and we've been teaching on the church covenant. And so we're going to continue on with that tonight. Most everybody that's been in church any amount of time is familiar with the church covenant. A lot of churches, they have it hanging on the wall. And it's one of the things that's been there, probably most churches, since they were organized. But in all the years I've pastored, I've never really taught through it. I've thought about it a few times, wanted to a few times. But the Lord has allowed us to start a study on that. So this is Church Covenant Part 3, and we are down to the second paragraph. That's what we're going to be looking at tonight. But we're also going to take our text, and we're going to try to preach out of 1 Corinthians chapter number 13. And so that's where we're going to preach from tonight, and I am sure that I've preached out of that and dealt with certain things in 1 Corinthians chapter number 13, but it's a great chapter in the Bible on charity. And charity is Christian love. That's what it is. And so let's start tonight. If you've got your church covenant, we'll just read that second paragraph there. And just by way of getting started tonight, it says, "We engage, therefore, by the aid of the Holy Spirit, to walk together in Christian love." And so that's what we're going to preach on tonight. That's the only thing that I'm going to deal with. So I said last week that the first paragraph went really quickly, and then when we get in the second paragraph, it's going to slow down. But look what it says there. "We engage, therefore, by the aid of the Holy Spirit, to walk together in Christian love." And last week we looked at that first paragraph, and that first paragraph just deals with this. This is who we are. And not going back through all that, but some of the things that it talks about in the first paragraph, and this is family talk. This is not a doctrinal thesis that we're going through here. This is not everything that could be said about being saved, but it is just a quick summary of some things that we are in agreement about, having been led, as we believe, by the Spirit of God to receive the Lord Jesus Christ as our Savior. So what are we? Well, we're saying that we're saved. We're saved by the grace of God. We've received the Lord Jesus Christ. And then it deals with the subject of baptism, having been baptized in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. So we come together and we're saying, we're saved, we've received Jesus Christ as our Savior, we've been baptized, we've all been baptized in the same manner, by immersion in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. And then what we in the presence of God in this assembly. So we talked about this is a covenant together that has three parts. There's God, there's this assembly, and then there's us, we that come to join the church. And so this is who we are. The second paragraph begins, and from here down through the end of it, we could say, this is what we desire to do. And so it starts, "We engage, therefore, by the aid of the Holy Spirit, to walk together in Christian love." So what do we want to do as a church? We want to walk together in Christian love. And that's what we're going to deal with tonight from the Bible. Now, to walk together in Christian love implies two things. Walking together takes unity. And so that's very, very important for a church. We've got to be in unity together. In fact, I really believe if a church is not in unity, that you shouldn't even have a business meeting. Well, that's just asking for trouble. If we're not in unity, we need to get in unity before we have even a business meeting. And that's why we say, nothing hindering. Have you ever noticed that? Well, the only reason I say that's because I heard Preacher Carl say that. But I think that's very important. Nothing hindering us. We will consider ourselves seated together for the transaction of business. We need to be in unity. We don't need to be having the Lord's Supper if we're not in unity. That is one thing that, and I preached on that a few Sundays ago, that brings the judgment of God. To have the Lord's Supper and not be right with one another and not be right with the Lord. So it's very important. Walking together. Unity is very important in the church. Amos chapter 3 verse 3 says, can two walk together except they be agreed? No, we can't. We've got to be in unity together. We've got to be agreed. Psalms 133 verse number 1. Behold, how good and how pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity. And so we've preached on that a whole lot of times over the years. We've got to be unified. We've got to be together on these things. If we were to take just a moment to turn over to Acts chapter 2. Last week we preached out of a little bit verse number 41. And Acts chapter 2 and verse number 41. The Bible's talking over there about all the people that got saved on the day of Pentecost. Then they that gladly received His word, to receive His word and to receive the Lord Jesus Christ. You find in the Bible those are used interchangeably. They that were gladly received His word were baptized. And the same day there were added unto them about 3,000 souls. So in one day they got saved and they got baptized. What did they do after that? Verse 42. And they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship and in breaking of bread and in prayers. What did they do after they got saved and after they got baptized? Well, they walked together. They walked together around these things in verse number 42. They continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship and in breaking of bread and in prayers. You got to be in unity to have all those things. You can't pray. You can't even pray if you're not in unity together. You can't fellowship if you're not in unity together. You can't break bread and have the Lord's Supper if you're not in unity together. You can't fellowship around the Word of God if you're not in unity together. So to walk together takes unity. But then it says, walk together in Christian love. Christian love is charity. We're going to go to 1 Corinthians chapter number 13. And I'm going to preach out of chapter number 13 tonight, which deals with charity. It's a great love chapter in the Bible. But charity, the King James Bible is correct in using the word charity. Now, a lot of people, they discount that. They change that. A lot of your new versions, they change that. They don't have the word charity. They just put the word love in there. Well, charity does mean love. But charity is a special kind of love. It is not the love of the world. Charity is Christian love. Amen. Christian love is several notches above the love of the world. And we use the word love all the time. We use the word love in a lot of different ways. But Christian love is distinct, separate from the love of the world. And so the Bible uses the word charity. Charity is above and beyond the love of this world. Now let me give you an example of what I'm talking about. The love of this world is consumer based. You know what I mean by that? Here's how we use the word love. I love pizza. That's consumer based. The only reason you love pizza or turkey or meatloaf or anything, you want to consume it. That's how we use that. I love to go to wherever you like to go to eat. That's consumer based. I love to watch baseball. I love to watch football. I love music. I love, somebody might say, well, I love bluegrass. I love this and I love that. Well, it's consumer based. The love of the world wants to consume that thing. I love movies. Well, you just want to watch it. It's a flesh feeding type of love. But the love of Christ, Christian love, is not a consumer based love. It is a love that produces. Instead of taking all the time, it is a giving kind of love. Instead of, it is not a just saying I love, but it is a doing type of love. Doing. Charity does something. It's an action type of love. If you look on down just quickly in the church covenant, let me give you an example. That fourth paragraph, here's an example. it says down there, we further engage to watch over one another in brotherly love, to remember one another in prayer, to aid one another in sickness and distress, to cultivate Christian sympathy and feeling and Christian courtesy in speech. It's talking there about brotherly love. That does something. Look what it says, to aid one another in sickness and distress. You know, a lot of times we come to church and somebody's sick or somebody's been in the hospital. Well, what do? We don't just say, well, let's pray for them. But we try to do something for them. They're going to need some meals. They're going to need some food. We've got a list on the back, and that happens all the time. And some people might say, well, I get tired of that. Well, wait till you're sick. You'll be glad to have some meals. That's Christian love. Christian love does something for one another. And we engage, therefore, by the Holy Spirit. We've covenanted together to come together, to walk together in Christian love. And that means we're not just going to love in word only, but we're going to have to love in action as well. The Bible said in Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 2, and walk in love as Christ also hath loved us and hath given himself for us an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet smelling savor. And so Christ's love is a love that had action. He gave himself for us. He didn't just say, yes, I love you, but he done something for us. What did he do? He gave himself for us an offering and a sacrifice to God. And so that's our great example, is the love of Christ. Charity comes from the Latin word caritas, which means Christian love. Webster, in his dictionary, says that charity is supreme love to God and man. So charity is a good word. Let's not do away with it. It means something good. It does mean love. But not all love means charity. There's a lot of love that's just like a whole lot. It's not Christian love, and it doesn't do anything. It's just a selfish love. D.L. Moody said this about 1 Corinthians chapter number 13. He said this chapter ought to be read in church once a week. And it probably should. It is a great chapter on charity, on Christian love. We're going to look at it tonight. Let's read down a few verses. We'll think about this subject of walking together in Christian love, which is charity. Paul said in 1 Corinthians 13, 1, though I speak with the tongues of men and of angels and have not charity, I am become as sounding brass or a tinkling cymbal. Now, first thing we want to point out tonight, we're going to call it this, the preeminence of charity. That means above and beyond all other love, there is charity or Christian love. It is above and beyond. Somebody said last night, I think it was, when we met together for CFC, Collegians for Christ, and we was talking, maybe it was a week or two ago, we was talking about, Brother Tim was teaching out of John chapter number 13, we was talking about showing love one for another. And somebody said, and you've heard it as well, the world does not care how much you know till it knows how much you care. The world does not care how much you know till it knows how much you care. And without charity, all our words are just blah, blah, blah. Just whatever. That's what verse number 1 is saying. Though I speak with the tongues of men and of angels. Paul is saying, if I was the greatest preacher you ever heard. So that somebody would say, it's just like listening to an angel. But he said, and have not charity, I am become as sounding brass or a tinkling cymbal. I'm just a bunch of noise. Doesn't matter how much we know. Doesn't matter how great we might talk about something. If we don't have charity, we're just a bunch of noise. That's what Paul is saying there. It's all noise without charity. Verse number 2. He said, and though I have the gift of prophecy and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and though I have all faith so that I could remove mountains and have not charity, I am nothing. He mentions three things there in verse number 2, prophecy. He said, if I had the gift of prophecy, that means predicting, knowing, speaking God's word. He said, if I understood all mysteries, all the revelations in the Bible, all the things Peter said about the writings of Paul, he said there's some things hard to understand. What if you understood all of those things? You understood all the prophecy, you understood all the mysteries, and all knowledge, I mean, you could be a walking, talking Bible dictionary. Somebody asked my Grandpa Cornett one time, you know, he was a preacher, and so he was telling me about this. He said, somebody asked me one time how many times the word love was in the Bible. And my grandpa, he said, I don't know. And the guy looked at him and said, and you're supposed to be a preacher. Well, I guess that guy knew how many times love is mentioned in the Bible, but if you don't express it in your actions, it's really not worth anything. If you had all knowledge, if you knew everything there was, if you knew how many times all the different words are in the Bible, and you had it all in your mind, and you just could, you know, give all the facts and all the figures, use a walking, talking concordance with maps in the back, but if you don't have charity, Paul said, you're nothing. If we don't have charity, though we had all these things, if I had faith so that I could remove mountains and have not charity, I am nothing, is what the Bible says. Look at that. Without charity, I am nothing. If you and I do not have charity, we're nothing. What's that mean? It means the same thing in the Greek and the English. Means nothing. You're not worth anything if we have not charity. Verse number 3, and though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, you could give away everything you had. And though I give my body to be burned, you could become a martyr. And have not charity, it profiteth me nothing. And so we see tonight how important charity is. That's where we begin with tonight. The Bible said in 1 John chapter 4 and verse 20, if a man say, I love God, and hateth his brother, he's a liar. For he that loveth not his brother whom he has seen, how can he love God whom he hath not seen? It doesn't do any good to talk about how much we love the Lord if we don't love our brother. None of us have seen the Lord, but we've all seen our brothers and sisters in Christ. And what good is it to talk about how much we love God, who we cannot see, if we don't express that we love God to those that we do see? And so it's very, very important. John 13, verse 34, Jesus said, a new commandment I give unto you, that ye love one another as I have loved you, that ye also love one another. Before Jesus went to the cross, he said, I've got a new commandment. And this is what it is. That you love one another. And that's what we were studying about over at CFC. And the thought come to my mind, that is the greatest way to advertise for the Lord Jesus Christ. You want to advertise for Jesus? Love one another. Oh, as a church, you know, we could spend money. We could buy a billboard out on the highway over here. They got a real fancy billboard. Looks like a TV. Gives different, you know, flashes different messages. We could rent that billboard. Do you think that'd be a good investment? We could get some ads on the radio. It'd probably just cost, you know, you can put a lot of money into radio ads. We could probably, for $500, $1,000 a month, we could get a lot of ads on the radio and advertise. We could rent space in the newspaper. We could do a whole lot of things to advertise the Lord Jesus Christ and put out flyers. We could utilize social media, you know, but use Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter, and all those things. We could do all these things to advertise, but the greatest advertisement for the Lord Jesus is just simply this. Just love one another. Amen. I'll tell you that, and that doesn't cost anything. Just simply love one another. Just walk together in Christian love. And as we walk together in Christian love, you see, there is a great, great absence of love in the world. Have you noticed that? Well, just watch the news. I'm telling you, all they do is hate on each other. All the news shows hate on each other, how bad one another is. And you don't have to go far in the world to find all kinds of hatred. So love, it sticks out. Love is different. It's the greatest way to advertise for the Lord Jesus Christ. And I'm not just making that up, because John 13:34 said, "A new commandment I give unto you, that you love one another." And in the very next verse, Jesus said this, "By this shall all men know that ye are my disciples. By this shall all men know that ye are my disciples, if ye have love one to another." So how can people come to know? Well, by us loving one another. Very, very important. The preeminence of charity. Now, verses 4 through verse number 8, we have the practice of charity. Verses 4 down through verse number 8. This is all scripture that we're probably familiar with. And we could take a long time dealing with each of these things. I'm going to just try to say a little bit about verses 4 down through verse number 8 about the practice of charity. How do we walk together in Christian love? Well, verse 4 says, "Charity suffereth long and is kind." Charity suffereth long and is kind. Can we suffer and be kind at the same time? You know, a lot of people, when they suffer, what they do, they lash out. They lash out in anger. They lash out at others. But Christians have the ability, by the grace of God, to suffer and be kind at the same time. Some of the kindest words and acts I've ever seen has been over at the hospital. Somebody suffering and nothing's going right, and sickness, and then the doctors aren't doing right, the nurses aren't doing right, and you know, the world, boy, I tell you, they'd lash out, they'd take it out on somebody. I've seen some of God's people just be so sweet and just suffering bad. Charity, that's Christian love. Charity suffereth long. You know, we was talking last night about that long suffering. What is that? That's suffering long. And is kind. Charity doesn't wear out, blow up, but it's kind. It goes on and it says, charity envieth not. Now, envy is just this. What is envy? Envy is jealousy. And jealousy and envy is a work of the flesh. Galatians chapter number 5 talks about the fruit of the Spirit. But if you go on down in verses 19 through 21, it talks about the works of the flesh. Now, the works of the flesh are manifest. Which are these? Verse number 21, envyings. Envy is just being jealous about somebody else. That's what that is. And one of the greatest examples of that in the Bible is that King Saul became envious of David and David's success. And you know, if Saul was right with God, he should have been glad to have somebody like David on his side, because I'm telling you, David was as loyal to Saul as the day is long. Amen. David never gave Saul any reason to believe that he wasn't on his side. But when David went out in battle and had success, and the maidens came back and they were singing about how that David had, or Saul had his thousands and David had his 10,000s. And he was talking about when they went out to war and Saul heard that David was more successful than he was, he became full of jealousy and envy and had nothing but hatred and murder in his heart towards David. That's what envy will do for you. And so envy is it is the absence of love. Saul had no love for David, and he had no reason not to love and appreciate everything about David. David just had some success and recognition, and it drove Saul mad. Charity is the opposite of that. Charity says, "Praise God for your success. Praise God that you found favor. Somebody gets a new car. You know what I think about that?
praise God, I'm happy for you. Envy says, I don't think they ought to be, blah, 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 and all that. And most things that people are envious about, it's none of their business. You know, just praise the Lord. Hey, are you able to do something? Praise the Lord. Have you had some success in ministry? I hope all the preachers out of this church are better preachers than I ever hoped to be. Wouldn't that be sad? But just try to keep them all down. Don't want to be all right. Don't want to be. That's foolish. That's envious. Charity has nothing to do with that. That's what Saul's problem was. Envy drove him mad. He ended up crazy. Saul did. Envieth not. Suffereth long and is kind. And then it says, charity vaunteth not itself. It means this. It means to make a boast about, to make a parade about, to show off, to be top dog. Charity vaunteth not itself. Charity does not toot its own horn. Charity does not say, look at me, look what I've done. Proverbs 27 verse 2 says, let another man praise thee and not thine own mouth. A stranger and not thine own lips. Let somebody else brag on you. Don't brag on yourself. That always looks bad when somebody starts out bragging on themselves. I don't know if this applies to when we play golf, but I don't know. Because if it does, I'm guilty. But I don't know. But surely in the church, it applies in the church. It applies in our relationships. Because maybe I need to take an inventory because I get a little. But I'll tell you one thing about golf. It'll really humble you real quick. About the next swing, and you'll wish you hadn't said anything. But it doesn't boast and brag and make a parade about itself. Is not puffed up. That means get the big head. That's all talking about the same thing. It goes on down. Verse number 5, doth not behave itself unseemly. That means this. It means to be unbecoming, indecent. Not behave itself unseemly. It is not rude. It is not crude. It is not vulgar. It is not entitled. Charity is kind and courteous and respectful and mannered. That's what charity is. Now, let me just give an example. We have a Bible study. On a Tuesday night at Collegiate's, and several people have gone. You know, we have 35, 40, maybe even more than that college students in there. They come from all over the spectrum. Some of them come from churches just like this. Some of them are maybe they don't go at all. You know, you got all kinds. Well, you got all kinds of Bibles. They bring all kinds of Bibles. If you ask somebody to read and they don't read out of the King James Bible, I promise you, I know some preachers, they'd be rude about that. And you know all they would do is run them off. You can't be rude to people. You got to be loving to people. Charity does not behave itself unseemly. And you know, I think most preachers have said things and in younger days that they say, you know, I shouldn't have said that. I've done that before. I just heard somebody else say something and I said the same thing. And I look back on it later and I think, boy, I tell you, God's not into acting like that. Well, it might sound all right, just us. But you get out trying to witness to people and all they hear is people being rude and arrogant. Charity doesn't do that. Charity is a gentleman. At all times, charity is a gentlewoman at all times and behaves with the utmost of a character. It's not rude. It's not unbecoming. It's not indecent. 1 Peter 4:8 says, and above all things have fervent charity among yourselves, for charity shall cover the multitude of sins. And so charity is not rude. Doth not behave itself unseemly. Seeketh not her own. It's not out for number one. It's not out for
fame, fortune, popularity, all of those things, seeketh not her own, is not easily provoked. That means this: real charity does not have a chip on its shoulder. Real charity does not walk around and think that we are spiritually holier than everybody else. You know, real charity is not being a Pharisee. Real charity is not easily offended or angered. If you get offended all the time, something's wrong with you spiritually. The Bible says in Psalms 119, verse 165, it says, "Great peace have they which love thy law, and nothing shall offend them." Nothing shall offend them. We shouldn't be walking around getting offended all the time. "Well, sister so-and-so didn't speak to me, and I saw the preacher in town, and he didn't wave or come over and talk." You know, the older I get, and I just got older this week, and I've been wearing glasses about a year now. If I wear them out in town, I've noticed that I'd better watch where I'm stepping. I'll fall on my face. It's just different. And it made me realize maybe all old people go through the same thing. They are also having trouble getting around and maybe just trying to drive and get out in the road. And where I used to go down the road and probably didn't have to pay attention, waving at everybody and knew everything that's going on. We come home last night. I told Kim, I said, "I don't like to drive in the dark when it's raining. So I don't maybe see everybody I used to and wave." I have somebody in my family, they never wave. But they've never been in an accident either that I know of. So maybe that's good. Not easily provoked. My goodness, life's too short. Walk around mad all the time. Provoked all the time. That's what it's talking about. Doth not behave itself unseemly, seeketh not her own, is not easily provoked, thinketh no evil. Charity will not believe everything it hears and sees and reads. Charity would rather give the benefit of the doubt. That's how charity ought to be. Thinketh no evil. You know, in this life, we're going to hear a lot of things about people. Well, I don't like to. People ask me, "How's the church going?" I say, "I think it's going good." And they say, "What do you mean? You don't know?" I say, "I know. I know I think it's going good. I'm not walking around asking for bad reports." When I hear a bad report about somebody, you know, I'd like to think that that's not true. I hope that's not right. Whatever it might be. Don't you hate to hear that? Don't you hate to hear that something has gone wrong in church or with a preacher or with a couple or somebody is not doing right in their family? I'd like to think, first off, and I wasn't there and I don't know, I'd like to think that's not so. And so since I wasn't there and I didn't see it, I sure don't need to be going around talking about it. "I heard so-and-so, somebody laid something on us a while back about some family and a bad situation, and I just wish I could have said, don't tell me stuff like that. I don't need to hear that. That's not any of my business. You're spreading rumors is all you're doing." Sometimes people put something on you so quick that you can't stop them. But we ought to be with the attitude, I don't want to think that's right. Now, let's read on down. That doesn't mean you pat evil on the head or that there's no such thing. Because there is evil and there is wrong. And no doubt about that. But it goes on and it says, "Thinketh no evil, rejoiceth not in iniquity." Rejoiceth not in iniquity. So it says, "Thinketh no evil," but that does not mean that you pat evil on the head and everything's okay, because evil is still evil and sin is still sin. And we do not rejoice in iniquity. We're not happy about it. We are distraught about it, or we should be. But it says, "Rejoiceth not in iniquity." Then it says, "But rejoiceth in the truth." So it's not saying to paint over or hide things or reality is not reality, but we're not going to rejoice in iniquity, but we are going to rejoice in truth. Then it says this in verse number 7, beareth all things. That beareth, it means this. It means to cover. It means this. It means you can forgive people for what they've done. And people will do you wrong in this life. And it's not okay to be done wrong. People do us wrong. That happens. But we'll either forgive and get better, or we'll hold on to it and get bitter. We don't want to hold on to things and get bitter. We beareth all things. Verse number 7, believeth all things. Charity is trustful. Charity wants to give the benefit of the doubt. When we walk together in Christian love, we want to give the benefit of the doubt. We want to think the best of people as long as we can. We want to give them a chance. You know, I've told you about this before. Somebody died and really wasn't anything good to say about them. But there's one fellow in church and he always had something good to say about everybody. And they wondered what he'd say about the one fellow. And he stood up and he said, well, he sure was a good whistler. You know, he wanted to say something good about him. Sometimes it's hard. Sometimes it's hard because of how life is, but believeth all things. Boy, I tell you, I want to give people a chance. Because there might come a time you and I might need to be given a chance. Beareth all things, believeth all things. Look on down what it says. Hopeth all things. Charity is optimistic. And sometimes we're guilty of being not optimistic. We ought to be the most optimistic people in the whole wide world. Because we have more to look forward to than anybody else in the whole wide world. We ought to be optimistic. We ought to hope. We ought to have hope all the time. Hopeth all things. Endureth all things. And there's going to be many things to endure in this life. There's going to be trials. There's going to be hardships. There's going to be disappointments. All of these things. And so verses 4 through 8, there's a lot of things to practice there. Then, think about this. Here's the picture of charity. If we take verses 4 through 8, and let's just do this, not change in the Word of God, but if you want a picture of what charity really is, substitute the name Jesus for charity. And this is what charity looks like. Jesus suffereth long and is kind. I'm back at verse 4. Jesus envieth not. Jesus vaunteth not himself, is not puffed up, doth not behave himself unseemly, seeketh not his own, is not easily provoked, thinketh no evil, rejoiceth not in iniquity, but rejoiceth in the truth, beareth all things, believeth all things, hopeth all things, endureth all things. Jesus never faileth. You want to know what charity looks like? Look at Jesus. That's a perfect picture of what we ought to look like in our lives. Here's what the Bible says in 1 John 2 and 6. He that saith he abideth in him ought himself also so to walk even as he walked. So you say you're saved? You ought to walk like Jesus walked. How did Jesus walk? Jesus walked in charity. Always showed what a picture of charity ought to be. That verse, 1 John 2, 6, he that saith he abideth in him ought himself also to walk even as he walked. Back a few years ago, I'm going to say 15 years ago, 16 years ago, somewhere around in there, WWJD, what would Jesus do? Bumper stickers, necklaces, bracelets. I mean, that was the thing. WWJD. What would Jesus do? If you study about the story of where that come from, it come from a book a man wrote, In His Steps is the name of the book.
And it starts out, the pastor, he gave a challenge at the end of the sermon and asked the question about, in life, what would Jesus do? And a group of people out of his church came together and they covenanted together for 1 year that every decision they made in their life, they would ask the question, what would Jesus do? And the book tells about the different people in the church and how that one thing changed their whole life. What would Jesus do when somebody owes you money? What would Jesus do when somebody talks? And it's a great book. It's a great book. But you want to sum it up? What ought we to do? If we say we abide in Him, we ought to walk in His steps. We ought to do what He would do. And so there's a picture. Number four, and I'm quickly closing tonight. There's the preeminence of charity. Charity never faileth in verse number 8. Verse number 13, and now abideth faith, hope, charity, these three. But the greatest of these is charity. Look at chapter 14, verse 1. Follow after charity. The permanence of charity. All else will fail, but charity will not fail. Verse 8, he said, charity never faileth, but where there be prophecies, they shall fail. Where there be tongues, they shall cease. Where there be knowledge, it shall vanish away. You know, I preach messages in the past that don't even apply now. Not saying it wasn't biblical, not saying it wasn't scriptural, but I come across a message the other day that I'd preached, and it was back before the year 2000, and everybody's afraid that society was going to end as we know it. When the computers rolled over to 2000, everything had stopped. And I preached a message on Y2K. That doesn't even apply now. There's some scriptural principles that still apply. But it's out of date. Charity never goes out of date. It never fails. The love that you showed somebody 10, 15, 20, 50 years ago, it never fails. Every one of us that are grown, we can look back and we can think about in our childhood somebody that really loved us. I know when I grew up at Brushy Fork, I'll not say who it was, but Mom would let me go back as an older man in the church, and she'd let me go back and visit with him, and he'd give me a quarter. I'll never forget that. All of us can also think of somebody that was mean to us. I can think of some teachers. I was always good. I don't know why they'd ever be mean to me. But there's one. She made me spank myself in front of the whole class. You talk about damaging your self-esteem. And sat there and said I wasn't doing it hard enough. I could never forget that. Harder! That's what she said. You think I loved her? Not a drop. Never got no respect back from me over that deal. That really damaged me. I'm sure it did. If that happened today, they'd be a major... I mean, the news would show up. Made me spank myself. I don't even remember what over. So, love never fails. Charity never fails. It'll never run out. Charity will win out over talent and education and arguments. 1 Corinthians, flip back in your Bible just a little bit. Chapter 8, verse number 1. 1 Corinthians chapter 8, verse number 1, Paul said, and as touching things offered unto idols, we know that we all have knowledge. Knowledge puffeth up, but charity edifieth. That means it builds you up. Charity builds you up. Somebody that'll just love on you, it'll build you up. Somebody that'll down on you, it'll tear you down. Somebody love on you, it'll build you up. The permanence of charity. Number five and last of all, there is the procurement of charity. And chapter 14, verse number 1, Paul said, follow after charity. And look over in chapter 16,
1 Corinthians chapter 16, verse 14, he said, let all your things be done with charity. Colossians chapter 3, verse 14, and above all these things, put on charity, which is the bond of perfectness, and on and on and on. You can go in the Bible. Charity is mentioned 24 times in the New Testament. It always means a love that is demonstrated by action. Now, when we think of charity, you might think of the Red Cross or Salvation Army or, you know, something like that. And it does mean that, but it means much more than that. It is a love that is demonstrated by action. So we close tonight. The church covenant says, we engage therefore by the aid of the Holy Spirit. I don't know what I did with mine, but it said, we engage therefore by the aid of the Holy Spirit to walk together in Christian love. And so there's three things there. We need to walk together. That means we need to have unity. In Christian love, that means we need to have charity. But that is only possible by the aid of the Holy Spirit. If the Holy Spirit don't help us, we're never going to be what we ought to be. And that is that love is a gift of the Holy Spirit. By the aid of the Holy Spirit. Have you ever had somebody you had a problem with? I'll tell you what you need to do. Just really pray for them. And really pray that God would help you to love them like you ought to. And you know what? He'll help you. He'll help you do that. Try it and see. So, what are we studying about? This is what we intend to do. Well, that's some good instruction. All right, not next week, because we won't be here. But when we come back, it goes on. To strive for the advancement of this church. And there's a lot of good things in there. So that's what we're studying about. I really appreciate your good attention tonight. Hope you.